Sri Sri Radha Krishna's Transcendental Day. Now it's about 12:30 in the night on Pashanakush Jagaran, on the banks of Shamakund, in Ananga Rangada Kunj. And we've gone to the top of one small hillock on the side of Govardhan Hill. And at this particular time, the Lord has his pastimes of rasa dance. Rasa dance begins around 11:30 at night and goes until 1:30 in the morning. And we noticed the other day, it was quite interesting, that the last Purnima, about 1 month ago, 3 days is Purnima, the full moon, the Chandra Udai, the full moon began about 5 in the afternoon, and a full moon, and it set, Chandra Ast, it set about 11:30 at night. That was a month ago. And on Ashwin Purnima, Ashwin Maina Purnima, which is 3 days from now, the moon rises about 6 and sets at 1:30. You'll see tonight, this moon will set around 1:30. And that's very appropriate, because that's when the rasa dance ends. And the moon is like a beautiful spotlight, illuminating the pulina, Jamuna pulina, the sandy banks of the Yamuna, which the sand is compared to fine camphor powder. Camphor powder dust, the sand. It's very cooling, very shimmering, shimmering white, and very, very soft to the touch. Special sand. If anyone has frequented beaches around the world, because we are a water person, so we've been to many beaches. We've been to beaches in Canada and America, East Coast of America, West Coast, South America, Central America, Caribbean, Europe, and India. So we have a sample. We have a sample of different beach. Generally, we say beach sand, but the sand is different colors, and the sand is different texture. Different texture. Some is very coarse, some is very fine, and we've had the experience. And then sometimes they advertise, "Oh, this Malibu or this beach has." Fine sandy beaches, they say. Fine, just like in carpentry, we have sandpaper. I think it's called in Hindi gasai paper, and it's some paper with glue on it, and they sprinkle sand of different textures, and they give numbers to it. Number 60 sandpaper, number 80, 120, 180, 200. And it's called the grit of the sandpaper. How much grit it has, how much sanding power. So we have that experience. So some beaches are very, very fine sand and very pleasant to walk on in the nighttime and the moonshine and walk along the beach. We had the experience. So we can only imagine what the sandy banks of the Yamuna were like 5,000 years ago when Radhika and Shamsundar and all the Braja Gopis gathered there under the full moon light of the autumn season. Autumn season is called Sharad Purnima. So this Purnima that's coming in about 3 days is called Sharad Purnima, the full moon night of the Rasa dance, Maha Rasa dance. Rasa dance is going on all the time in Govardhan, in Nandagram, everywhere they have Rasa dance. Any place in the forest you can make a clearing. But there's some speciality of rasa dance in Vrindavan, because Nidibana is there, Vamshivat, and Govindastali, and Dir Shamir, many beautiful places there that combine together to give us extraordinary flavor to the rasa dance. And then there's Govardhan, and Govardhan at Punchari Rasastali. Then there's Petagram, and the Kunjas and forests. And then there's Chandra Sarovara, a very beautiful, beautiful lake, Chandra Sarovara. And that's the setting for Gita Govinda, Vasant Ras, Vasant Panchami, and Vasant Purnima. So they all have their specialities, but the most special place is this Ras and Govardhan. Rupa Goswami is telling that higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura, because Krishna, Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna has taken birth in Mathura. But higher than Mathura is Vrindavan, because here's Vrindavan is where Krishna has his... No, higher than Mathura is the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Of course, Mathura is in one of the forests, Madhavan. But higher than Mathura is the 12 forests of Vrindavan, or the forest of Vrindavan itself. The Vrindavan forest, which is one of the Dwadasavan, includes certain gauns or villages. In the forest of Vrindavan, we have Nandagaon, Yavatgram, Barsana, Giriraj, Shamukund, Radhakund, Pavansarovar, Premsarovar, Govindakund, and we have Vamshivat and Nidiban and the whole municipal Vrindavan of today. This is all part of Vrindavan Van, Vrindavan Forest. And the whole Brajmandal is also called Vrindavan, or Brajmandal, Brajbhumi. So the Rasa dance in Chandra Sarovar, Vasant Ras, is even more blissful than the Maharas. And that is the Gita Govinda is describing this wonderful separation and union during the spring Ras. Why is it? Because it's at this Ras at Govardhan, Vasant Ras is at Govardhan. And Govardhan is the site of Krishna's most confidential pastimes with his Brajagopis, his selected, intimate, most confidential Brajagopis. In the Maharas dance in Vrindavan, there are many categories and classes of gopis there. There are what they call newcomer gopis from another town. There were sadhana siddha gopis and the rishichari, munichari gopis and the devi kanyas, the girls from the heavenly planets, and Chandrakanti, and many different personalities came and got gopi sarup and joined that rasa dance with the eternal nichaparishads of Krishna, Radha's Kayavyuha. Direct expansion, Sarup Shakti Gopis, Lalita Vishaka, Ashtashakti, etc. So when the Rasa dance comes to Govardhan, then there's no newcomers there, only veteran gopis, only the select crowd, the sadhana siddhas, they stay home and make knit sweaters or whatever they do. They do some other thing over there. So this is, unfortunately, we are not so fortunate to have to be able to be together on a Purnima night to relish this beautiful Purnima. But we see how everything is favorable for the Rasa of Krishna. Krishna didn't choose to have his Maharas dance last Purnima because the moon would have set by 12 o'clock or 11:30. And he was dancing on till 1:30, so he'd be dancing in the dark. It's a little difficult to dance in the dark. So when the full moon, we see how bright it is now. So you can imagine when the moon is completely full and it's so brilliant. Now that brilliance of the full moon is combined with two other brilliances, the Krishna Jyoti and Gopi Jyoti. The Krishna Jyoti, the beautiful effulgence, the Lavanya, Rupa Lavanya, the beautiful Lavanya of Krishna's transcendental form. So it's like you look at a pearl, if you get a very high quality moti or pearl, it gives in it, from the inside the pearl comes out a radiance, comes out a shine, a natural, costly, expensive pearl. This is called Lavanya. It's very cooling, it's very soothing, it's very attractive, and it's very powerful. Shine. So Krishna, he is like 10,000 pearls. His body, Rupa Lavanya, it is so much effulgent and so much shining with this jyoti. So there's this light of Krishna's transcendental form is there, illuminating the banks of the Yamuna. But alongside Krishna, right beside him is Radhika. And surrounding him are all the sakis. And they're so brilliant. Their bodies are like polished gold. If you take gold, and there's a phrase in Bengali, something about lak. You melt that, some product, lak ban, it's called lak ban or something. where they take gold. If you could take gold, then melt it 1 lakh of times, 100,000 times. Because each time you melt gold, it becomes purer and purer and purer, and more effulgent. And in gold, there's different categories of gold. You know carats of gold. 8-carat gold, 10-carat, 12-carat, 14-carat, 18-carat, 20-carat, 22-carat, 24-carat, 28-carat. These higher numbers are more purified, melted more times. But not only that, but gold has different colors. There's white gold, there's blue gold, there's yellow gold, there's yellow-green gold, there's all different colors. So this body of the gopis is like this most pure white gold, this gory gold, gory sona, gory gold. The effulgence of, and the shine, the jyoti of their body is like gold purified 100,000 times. Like 1,000 carat gold, 10,000 carat gold. So the gopis are so effulgent and so radiant. And Krishna is so lavanya and so beautiful. And these combined effulgences, they combine with the moonshine. And together they make three beautiful illuminations on the banks of the Yamuna, Yamuna Pulina. A beautiful gentle breeze is blowing. Now there's some breeze, slight, but not much, very still. It's called Dhira Shamira. And that when the gopis, after they're dancing with Krishna for some time, and they want a brief rest, just to cool down for a second, then they go in some kunjas. And as soon as they enter the kunjas, Yogamaya arranges that this Dhira Shamira, Dhira Shamira. There's a place over there by Gopal Guru Samadhi, and Goridas Pandit Samadhi is there. I haven't been there in years, but it's described and I visited many times. And Goridas Pandit is Subalsaka. His Samadhi is there. Goridas is who was in Krishna Leela with Subal. There's no Samadhi for Subal. So, in the gopis and Krishna, they went in these kunjas on the bank of the Yamuna, and as soon as they went inside, Vrindadeva Yogamaya arranged. Beautiful breeze started coming through the kunj, just like air cooler. Now we have our bedrooms, and we turn on the AC. Then nice cool breeze comes from the AC machine. And big noise also. So if you can sleep with then, you know, that's very nice. I can't. I could never, 1,000 years, sleep with AC. I go to Delhi, they have an AC in the room. I never turn it on. In the daytime, maybe something. But at night, I could never sleep with AC. It's too much noise. But natural breeze, it's called double AC, right? Double AC is Asli air conditioning, right? AAC, double air conditioning, Asli air conditioning. So this is a natural arrangement of Braj, that everything is properly adjusted to do what it's supposed to do at the right moment. Not like us. We don't do what we're supposed to do at the right moment. When the right moment comes, we do the wrong thing. When the wrong moment comes, we do the right thing. But at any rate, when Krishna and the gopis, when they want a brief rest during rasa dance, at least in the Vrindavan side, they go in these kunjas, and that area is called Dhira Shamira. And Shamira means like a breeze, and Dhira means very gentle. So a very gentle, fresh breeze blows off from the Yamuna. And there's all night blooming, Kumudi lotuses there, and land lotuses, and very fragrant and cooling breeze. And I feel like, oh, it's so relaxing. All the perspiration from their bodies, it all immediately dries up. And they feel so, they smell those fragrance of flowers. And they feel so enervated and so rejuvenated and feel refreshed from that beautiful Dhira Shamira. And then they cool down a little bit, then they go back for more dancing. So this is something of the setting of the rasa dance, some minor description. So we come to Braj and we experience the daylight in Braj and the moonlight in Braj and the Brajaraj and the waters of Braj, and they have some meaning. But when we experience the people of Braj, then the true meaning of Brajadham is revealed to us. And that person who reveals Braj to us is called Dham Guru. Dham Guru. Sometimes they say Tirth Guru. But Brajadham is more than a Tirtha, it's a Dham, Brajadham. Shidam Vrindavan. So then we can understand that when we come in the full moon, we want to be part of it. Just like we open all the windows at night, and sometimes a very cool breeze comes. And outside our window, it's like a kunj. There's all malati vines. And by Krishna's window, there's all Ratki Rani, where my Krishna sleeps. By one window, I put him at night by the window. I move him from the altar to the window. And I planted outside that window, I deliberately planted Ratki Rani for his pleasure and Radha's pleasure. At night, Ratki Rani blooms very nicely, but only within a radius of about 15 feet. When you're 15 feet near Ratki Rani, you can smell too much wonderful smell. So that's the distance where Dhiraj takes his rest every night during this season. So he's smelling Ratki Rani, and so much malati is there also. There's madhu malati, sweet malati. But in the back of the house, we didn't plant, but the nursery while it planted to cover up all the plumbing pipes and stuff that are hanging out there. I did a good job of it. But as a side benefit, when we take rest, all this, when this cool breeze comes, passes through the malati latas, then what does the breeze smell like? It smells like malati. Dira Shamir with malati scent. And it's really intoxicating. And I wouldn't give that up for 10,000 air conditioners. And this artificial life in Delhi, it's just debilitating. I don't know how anyone can sustain their life. Personally, I was born in the country because I think in my last life I was born in Braj, and I had a great sanskara for living in the country. So somehow Krishna's given me a little piece of country, at least around the small area here. And I feel so much love for everything in Braj. The land of Braj, the air of Braj, the moon of Braj, the stars of Braj, the people of Braj, the animals of Braj. It's, you can't really understand unless you've lived here for 10 or 15 years, or 20. Then you can see. Because Vrindavan is Krishna. As much as Krishna is lovable, that's how lovable Vrindavan is. If you can love Vrindavan, you can love Krishna. But somebody will say, oh, I don't like Vrindavan, the people, the water, the dogs, the monkeys, the pigs. I don't like. It's very cold in winter, very hot in the summer. Oh, it's very dry. Oh, my skin's too dry. I don't look so pretty here. Oh, I don't like. Let me go to the city, soft water, this, that. Okay, nice. You go. But by our destiny and our karma, we are forced to live in different places. That is our good fortune or bad fortune. But we can understand that there's far beyond the pale, this material world, there's a place called Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka, Braja Loka, Braja Gokul. And there, everything is sweet and beautiful. You can't imagine, can you imagine that there is a land where there's people, there's a group of people living, men and ladies and children, boys and girls, and every single person appreciates the other person. Every single person is helping the other person. Every single person is loving the other person. No one is taking anything from anyone. No one is exploiting anyone. And there's mutual gratitude everywhere. Gratitude is being expressed. Krishna is grateful to the devotees. The devotees are grateful to Krishna. Krishna appreciates every single devotee. There's no big or small there. Everyone is big. Everyone in Braja Gokul has a place in Krishna's heart, a big place in Krishna's heart, and Krishna's heart is big. And Krishna has a place in everyone's heart, and Krishna is placed in everyone's heart. He's not displaced. Here Krishna is displaced. He's removed from us. And we put so many other imposters in our heart. There's so many imposters standing in our heart. Husband, wife, children, mother, father, cousins, nephews, second cousins, third cousins, 29th cousins. But in Braja Gokul, Krishna is standing in everyone's heart, reigning supreme. all beauty, all charm, all sweetness. And when Krishna sits in the heart, then our heart becomes full of these wonderful qualities, these divine qualities of charm, beauty, sweetness. And one suffuses generosity, and one suffuses gratitude and appreciation. You see, you're all familiar with Ram Leela. What does Ram Leela teach us? One lesson that Ram Leela teaches us is appreciation. Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Bhava Grahi Janardhan, this is in 90th chapter of Bhagavatam. There's one shloka. Jayati Jayati. Jayati Jayati Jananivas. It goes like this and says, Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Oh Janardhan, you're Bhava Grahi. And Bhava Grahi means, oh my Lord Janardhan, Lord of the living entities, worshipable by all the living entities, you have a special quality that I've never seen anywhere. You have the quality of accepting the essence of everyone. You have the quality of accepting the bhav of everyone. You don't weigh anyone. You don't measure anyone. You don't calculate anyone's wealth or size or features. You look in their heart and see what is the essence, what is the contribution, what is the contribution of this entity, what is he or she contributing to the center, what is their essential quality, what is their bhav, bhava grahi janardhan. So therefore, in Ram Leela, we see this beautiful appreciation between Bhagavan and the Bhakta. Such a beautiful appreciation and gratitude, appreciating the essence of the heart, the heart's desire to serve. What is the desire? How much desire in our heart do we really have to serve Krishna? We can say, oh, I'm Krishna Dasi, I'm Krishna Das. But how much desire do we really have to serve Krishna in our heart of hearts? Our hearts are crowded with so many desires. Thousand desires, million desires. But where do we find the genuine, concentrated, condensed, pure desire to serve Krishna? Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Anya Abhilash Shunya. Gyan Shunya Bhakti. Gyan Shunya Bhakti. That Anya Abhilash. Abhilash means Icha. Icha means calm. Calm, Icha, desire. Anya, no other desire. Anya Abhilash. Shunya, I'm devoid, I'm empty. Shunya. Shunya means empty, void. I'm devoid of any other desire but to serve Krishna. This is a heart full of bhav, seva bhav. So Ram, he taught us this principle. This is one teaching, and everyone knows the example. So there's one squirrel, and they were carrying little tiny pebbles to contribute to the center. They were contributing their bhav to the center, their desire to serve the center. The bhav of their heart was expressed. The desire of their heart is, I want to serve Ram. I don't know anything else. I only know I want to serve Ram. I want to contribute to the center. I want to serve the center. In my way, in what way I can, according to my possibility, according to my capacity, according to my adhikar and my abilities, I want to serve Ram. I'm not a big monkey. I'm not Bali Sugriv, Hanuman. I can't carry Gandamandana mountain. I can't carry vast mountains on my hand. But I do my part. I carry small. In my little mouth I carry toot-toot. But I have to run on my feet and I carry in my mouth one pebble, toot-toot. Toot-toot. And I put that pebble in the Indian or the Bay of Bengal, the ocean there, to go to Lanka, to contribute to the center, to contribute to the cause of Ram. And Ram appreciated that so much, isn't it? That he embraced that squirrel. So God will embrace us and display his appreciation if our heart is full of desire to serve him. Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Janardhan, Ramchandra, Krishnaji, Gauranga, they're looking for heart. They're heart examiners. They are heart doctors. So Krishna is a heart examiner. He's a heart doctor. Doctor. What is the quality of our heart? Anya vilashita shunyam gana karma dhyananritam anokalyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti is cultivation of activities, shilanam, cultivation of activities, actions, thoughts, words, feelings, which give happiness and pleasure to Krishna. They're Krishna anukul. They're favorable to Krishna. And they're done in a very pleasing way, very meticulous way, very careful way. Will this be pleasing to Krishna? Will this be more pleasing to Krishna? And will this be most pleasing to Krishna? It's one thing, okay, this is pleasing. But then there's pleasing, there's more pleasing, there's most pleasing. So this is the heart of the bhakta. The heart of the bhakta is thinking, how can I give the most pleasure and happiness to my priyatam? To my dayata, my beloved. This is the heart of the bhakta. The heart of every bhakta, and the heart of every Brijvasi. And this is the heart of Braj. Braj is made of Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency. The pleasure potency personified is Srimati Radhika, Vrishabhanu Nandini. Everyone is sprinkled with Radharani's Ladini Shakti, and because they have some sprinkle of Radharani's Ladini Shakti, they're able to give pleasure to Krishna. Yashoda can give pleasure to Krishna. Nanda Maharaj can give pleasure to Krishna. Subal, Sridham, Raktak, Patrak, Chandravali, everyone, they can give pleasure to Krishna because they're sprinkled with this pleasure potency, the ability to give pleasure to Krishna. This is Ladini Shakti. And Bhakti is a combination of two Shaktis, Ladini and Samvit. Samvit is awareness, the ability to know God, to know the heart of God, and to know how to please Him. And Ladini is the ability, that pleasure potency, that actual, what gives Him pleasure is the Ladini. What happens is that Krishna and His associates, they deposit their love into our hearts, and then we give that love back. It's like, I give you 1 lakh of rupees. Oh, here's a lakh rupees. Oh, you say, oh, Maharaj gave me his lakh rupees. And you go out and buy a wonderful gift, a fantastic, very useful and pleasing and satisfying gift for 1 lakh of rupees. So, Maharaj, I have something for you. And you give me this gift. Oh, this is very costly. This must be like 1 lakh. He says, yes. You gave me 1 lakh? I give you 1 lakh. So, I gave you the ability to please me. I gave you the 1 lakh. Then you say, oh, you exploit it and keep it for yourself. Oh, you gave me 1 lakh, but then I have to be creative. Okay, you gave me some paisa. I have to be creative. I have to put my bhav into this. But this is what prema is all about. Prema is given. It's given by the devotees. It's given by the representatives of Radharani. Krishna instills the prema in the heart of his devotees, and then he relishes the expression of that prema. And that's what pure bhakti is. And we, in our own way, in our small way, we have been given some drops of bhakti by our Gurudev. And with that bhakti, we're able to offer that bhakti back to Krishna. This is the whole process. And Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy to display this principle, that at some point in a child's life, maybe never, but sometimes it happens, that the son or daughter, they feel gratitude. They feel gratitude, and when one gratitude and appreciation are symptoms of genuine love. When you have a heart to exploit someone, and that's calm, that's exploitation. I'll utilize this person, I'll extract something from this person. This is not love. Attributes of love or expressions of genuine love are gratitude and appreciation. I am genuinely grateful for this person, and I very much appreciate so many things about them. So this, one can only have these attributes or these expressions if he has genuine love. So, devotees have genuine love for Krishna. So when Krishna, so when children, I was taking this analogy, when children grow up as their actual love, if love comes in their heart, this is material reflection of the spiritual love, then they start to appreciate their parents. They start to become grateful. Instead of just suckers, sucking, just taking, not that they're duped, but they're just, instead of drawing and extracting and taking from the parents, they think, oh, wait a minute, my mother and father have done so much for me. They've been so kind to me and so caring for me and given me so much attention and so much everything. And all my physical needs, emotional needs, and educational needs, and everything I ever wanted, they've given to me. I said, I want this, take it. I want this, take it. I want this, take it. And they sacrificed for me, and they wanted to get things for themselves, and they could take that money and buy a thing for me. And now I finally realized it. With me, this happened when I was 8 years old. I said, wow, wait a minute. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I said, wait a minute. I've been ripping off my parents for 8 years. And they're people, like I'm a person, a little person, they're big people, but they're people, they have feelings, they have needs, they have wants. And I haven't done a thing for them. I haven't done anything for them or expressed any love or any seva. Love means seva. What have I done for them? Nothing. Mommy, give me this. Daddy, give me this. Mommy, daddy, mommy, that. 24 hours a day, mommy, daddy mantra. So then Prabhupada uses an analogy, a similar phenomenon. He says that the child feeling like this towards his father, one day the father's sitting in the chair watching, the easy chair or lounge chair, whatever you call it, the thing comes up and they sit back. And he's watching the TV. And then his son goes in the kitchen, he gets one saucer, one thali, and he gets some cookies, puts them on, and cuts up some mango, and this and that. And then he gets some milk or something like this, or some yogurt or whatever, lassi. And then he comes, no one asks him, no one. He comes, his daddy, and he gets some table, some little TV table, dining table, they have little tables you sit and you eat on or whatever. And he gets a little table and he puts it on. And he said, Daddy, I brought this for you. Now you have to think about it. It's the father bought the cookies, the father bought the thali, the father, it's all his money that's operating the whole household and everything in it has been purchased with his money. But the one thing he couldn't purchase was the heart of his child. He couldn't buy the love that's stored, hopefully, stored in the heart, that was stored in the heart of his child. That came about organically or naturally. It arose somehow or other because it dawned on him, because of his good Sukritis and good piety, that his heart became softened. And then the father, how much the father, these few cookies and this one mango and this lassi meant more than to that father than the entire world. Because now it's not the object, but it's the intangible expression of the pure love coming from his son. It's all attractive and all encompassing. So just imagine, this is what Krishna Prema is all about. Krishna Prema is instilled into our hearts, and then we want to express that love for Krishna in so many unlimited ways. And that becomes seva, becomes the seva bhava and the seva expression, and that's the whole brudge is made of that. That's what Vrindavan is all about. I said, just imagine if we went to a land where every single person appreciated every other person. And every single person, young or old, had gratitude for the other person. And every single person there was cooperating with each other for the pleasure of the center, contributing to the center, every single person, animal, creature, living being, was cooperating with each other with mutual appreciation and gratitude, cooperating to offer their essence for the pleasure of the center. This is Brajadam. And the center is Krishna. Sri Krishna. So this is just some philosophical basis to understand what is Braj all about. And being this is close to Purnima, and we won't be together in Purnima, but we can appreciate the moonshine. And we were just reading that about this, because Maharas is coming up on Ashwin Purnima, which is called Maharas Dance, or Rasa Purnima, which is on the 14th. So we thought we'd read something about Rasa Dance. So now we had some philosophy, and now have a little Leela. If it's with the blessings of our well-wishing Mahajans, we can read. So this is the a day in the life of Radha and Krishna. Like all of us have our day. We wake at a certain time. We do certain rituals, morning ablutions. And then there's food and dressing and food and working and playing and counseling and teaching and helping and guiding and bruising and bending and all these things and moving and traveling and spending and buying and selling and crying and trying and frying and many things we do. Then the sun goes down and we slow down, and then we turn on, we want some entertainment, some means of relaxation, some friendly talks, some hot talks, some cool talks, and some walks and some box, and then a little radio, little television, little music, and then good night, sleepy time. So this is the ordinary day and the ordinary bloke, as they say, ordinary Joe, ordinary person. But Krishna's day is a little more diverse, a little more exciting, and he is called Lila Purushottam. And it is said, I heard one devotee once say, that if you want to live with the Lord of play, you have to chant your days away. If you want to live with the Lord of play is Lila Purushottam. This is the translation English. Lila Purushottam. Lila means play, drama, play. If you want to live with the Lord of play, you have to chant your days away. So this is Krishna begins his day at 3:36 in the morning. So Krishna, he gets up. This is called Nishant Lila. Early morning pastimes, 3:36 a.m. to 6 a.m. This is a brief summary. In the forest of Vrindavan, Brinda Devi engages peacocks, parrots, cuckoos, and doves to sing. They sing and they chirp inside the kunja, Nidiban or wherever, to wake up Radha and Krishna. And finally, one old monkey is actually, I believe, maybe Krishna's pet or Radharani's pet. Old monkey. You see it, you maybe don't know what old monkey looks like. But here in Radhakund, we see some old monkeys sometimes. Actually, they're all skinny and like old person. Usually they're so robust and fighting. But sometimes you see one old one, it's a little isolated from the pack, and no one pays attention to her anymore, and all her grandkids are gone and married. And so she's all wrinkled up and dragging herself around. I've seen some. So this old monkey, Kakati, she speaks to awaken Radha and Krishna. And what is the magic mantra that she chants to wake up Radha and Krishna? Jatila. Who is Jatila? Now, Jatila is the same way. So that old monkey comes in and says, Jatila out. It means Jatila is coming. And then when they hear that, then uh-oh. Just like you may be with someone, someone says, oh, someone's here. Yeah, okay, this, that. Or some lady is with someone else, and then someone says, your husband's here. Wow! Man, he or she or somebody's gone in 1 second, like runs right through the wall of the hotel or wherever they're hanging out or whatever is going on. Have you heard? Oh, like the wife goes to the door and says, it's my husband. And then, it's like up the chimney, fly up the chimney, somehow get out of there. So that's the same thing. That's the magic mantra to disperse Radha and Krishna from the kunj. Nikunja Bhanga Lila. Nikunja Bhanga. Breaking the Nikunja Lila. Nikunja Bhanga. Nishant. So the monkey does it. Monkeys, just think now how ungrateful they are. These same monkeys were fed yogurt by Krishna's hand. Now they come in and bust his program with Radharani. But this is all arranged by Brinda Devi. The divine couple leave their flower cottage and hastily and secretly return to their homes in Yavat and Nandagram. Then, so this is a very exciting and thrilling escapade to start the morning. We may get caught. So how do we start the morning? It's like so boring and so humdrum. Then Pratak Lila, 6 a.m. to 8:24, morning pastimes. Radharani and Yavat and Krishna Nandagra are awakened by their superiors, Kirtida and Yashoda. Kirtida and Mukura, her grandmother, and Yashoda and Purnamasi, Yogamaya personified. Yashoda and Purnamasi waken Krishna, and Mukura and Kirtida waken Radhika. These superiors are completely unaware of the preceding night's events. You have to keep it that way. Krishna greets his coward friends and goes to the cowshed to milk the cows, which we would say Goshala. Meanwhile, Radha, splendidly bathed and dressed, proceeds with her gopi friends to Nandagram to cook Krishna's breakfast. After milking the cows and joking with his friend, Krishna bathes, dresses, and enjoys breakfast while surrounded by Sri Baladev and his boyfriends, Madhumangal, Subal, and Sridham. So that's an action-packed morning. He wakes up, he meets all his friends, he bathes, dresses, milks the cows, because he's an Abira caste. And they take care, specifically they take care of cows. They don't even own land, they just wander around with their cows, the Abiras. And all their wealth and everything is measured with the cows. Ghee, and they trade their ghee and butter and milk to get gold and everything they have, just from trading. We call it bartering system. So now Krishna's got, he's been dressed, bathed and dressed, then he's done his duties or chores, milking the cows, wrestling with his friends a little bit. Fooling around. And then Radharani's come and with all kinds of, to the kitchen with all her sakhi mandris and cooked a wonderful breakfast. And then Rohini and Yashoda would serve it out. The mother of Balaram, Rohini and Yashoda. Radharani is too shy, too much Lajeshwari. She would stay in the kitchen and just glance from the kitchen. And she's at the sink or whatever she's washing, and she looks in the dining room, sees Krishna, and like this. So then Krishna is, of course, glancing at Radharani in the kitchen from the corner of his eyes, just pretending, oh, yes, yes, the boys, all Madhumangal's jokes. And he's, but, you know, his 99% of his attention is in the kitchen. He's like pretending, he's a very good actor. We say, oh, Madhumangal, very good joke. Oh, Subal, Sridham, Balaram. Oh, ha, ha, so 99% of his being, his heart is focused in the kitchen. Is Radharani glancing at me? Is she smiling? Is she looking at me? And sometimes to interact with Radharani, because she's watching his every move, minutely. Just because she loves him. And that's the nature of love, that everything about the beloved is minutely attractive. The speech, the dress, the movements, the talk, the singing, the dealings, the harsh dealings, the sweet dealings, is all attractive and compelling and sweet. Ultimately, it's sweet. Even the bitterest experience is sweet when people love each other. So you can imagine Radha and Krishna's love. The perfection of love. So, Krishna, Radharani's looking to see, he's eating something I prepared. Oh, how does he like it? She's watching. Are his eyes watering? Is his hair standing on end? Is his color of his face changing? Is his face becoming more, a slight reddish tinge coming to his face? Because he's so excited about this preparation he's eating. Because he's eating my love. He's not eating rasgulla. He's not eating pakora. He's not eating luchi chini sarpuri laru rasabali. He's not eating all these things. Mochakanda. He's not eating all these things. He's eating my love. My love is packed inside there. It's through and through. My love is there. And every morsel and every bite and every touch and every sight. It's all Radharani's love. So does he like it? Does he accept it? Does he like it? Is he pleased by it? She's watching. So then Krishna, knowing this whole mood of Radharani, He puts the most beautiful, beautiful rasgulla in his mouth. So the cheese is cooked so nicely and so soft, it just melts in your tongue, and the rose water and the sugar, so cooling and so sweet, so much full of ras. Doesn't it make you feel terrible now that you're fasting? You're either fasting from sweets, or you're fasting all the way, and it's Ekadasi, or you're not eating. Or when usually we talk a little bit about food on Ekadasi, because a part of us is crying out. A part of our cells are crying out, food, food, food. Consciously or unconsciously. Like Prabhupada told a nice story. In early days, in 66, I heard on tape, he was talking about how you can remember Krishna. He said, they were talking about prasadam, and the devotees were saying, prasadam is so nice. Prabhupada said, yes, prasadam is so nice. When you take prasadam, this is Krishna, you can remember Krishna. And then Prabhupada is so candid and so sweet, it's really, really candid and intimate with his disciples. There's only a handful, so it's nature. When there's a small number, you can get intimate. It's obvious by the arrangement, proximity. So Prabhupada, he said, yes, yes, this prasadam is so nice. I remember sometimes in Vrindavan when I was fasting, and then when I would sleep at night, I would dream that I was eating a big feast of prasadam. It sounds so sweet to hear the spiritual master, the Jagat Guru, the Siddha Saint. He's saying, sometimes at night I dream on Ekadasi night I was eating a big feast of Krishna prasadam. And just to empathize and come to our level, because that's the only level we knew or know or will ever know. And all the devotees said, Jai Prabhupada! And they laughed and he laughed. And everybody was so much enjoying the sweetness and the transparency of Prabhupada's bhav. And there's no falsity, there's no necessity. As they say, don't demand respect, command respect. So Prabhupada's effulgence, his jyoti, and his prema was so pervasive that everyone just fell into it. And when they fell into that prem prabhav, then it was intimacy. It's called, and technically it's called Vishrambena Gror Seva. Vishrambena Gror Seva. This is in Nectar of Devotion. Guru Pada Shraya is the first principle of bhakti. Surrender to the lotus feet of Guru. Take shelter there. Guru Pada Shraya. Then Diksha Shikshadi, or Diksha Adi Shikshanam, something like this. First you take diksha, then you receive particular shiksha. Then the shiksha really sticks to you because you surrendered and taken diksha. And then that's the second and third principle. And the fourth principle, of fourth limb of bhakti, is called Vishramba or Vishrambena Gurur Seva. One should serve the guru with Vishramba. Vishramba. Vishramba means great intimacy and great heart-to-heart feeling. And this is the true Guru Seva. There's official Guru Seva. Oh yes, Jai Gurudev, here's some Dakshin, here's some Seva. Okay, bye. Hello, goodbye. But then Vishrambena is like the Guru, your heart has four parts. Right ventricle, left ventricle. Right auricle, left auricle. And there are so many different departments inside, sub-departments there. Husband, wife, children, this, that. But Vishrambena Guru Seva means that the Guru occupies the heart. The family members are like in the mind. Yes, we're mindful of them, and we have some thought for them, thinking, feeling, willing. They're in the mind. They have become a concept. Family members become a concept or a construct, if you understand the meaning of the word. The family members become a mental concept or a construct. They actually become displaced from the heart, because Guru and Krishna conquer the territory of the heart. It's called wholesale takeover. Krishna is a totalitarian dictator, totalitarian despot. This is Krishna. You want to worship such a person? Such a dictator? Such a totalitarian dictator? He makes Stalin look like a mouse. He makes Hitler look like a flea. He's nothing. So the Guru, he's bringing such a personality into our heart that he, Guru, Vishrambhena Guru Seva, Guru starts to take over the heartland. The heartland. He occupies the heart. And then you start thinking, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, oh Prabhupada. And the Guru becomes everything. And then the other people, they become envious. Hey, what is this? Guru's becoming everything. Because if Guru becomes everything, then Krishna becomes everything, because you can't separate Guru from Krishna. And this is what people don't like, because people are envious of God. People are in the material world because they're envious of God. We're envious of God. We're in the material world. Because if we have love of God, we're in the love kingdom. This is the planet of the envious. And Brajaloka is Premloka. Premdam Vrindavan. We say Premdam Vrindavan. Right? Prem Segaho.
Shiradhe.
Prem Segaho.
Shiradhe.
Prem Segaho.
Shiradhe.
So Vrindavan is Prem Dham. Shridham Vrindavan, Prem Dham. Prem Purushottam. Lila Purushottam. Lila is based on Prem. So people don't like it. Every single devotee. What happened to Jesus? He became a lover of God. Crucified. By whom? By his relatives. He was crucified by his relatives, man. His disciples were not his relatives. His relatives crucified him. There was cousins, uncles, and second nephews, and all that stuff. His disciples. So this is what happens. When someone becomes a genuine bhakta or lover of God, then he gains God and loses the world. That's a very fearful proposition. Unless one is very, very determined and really a genuine lover of God, developing lover of God, he can't face the hardship. We can't face the difficulty. Because everyone, we ourselves, we Western folks, and anyone who becomes serious, then they meet a wall of opposition. Invariably. You think Mirabai had an easy life? And you see any saint of India, male or female, or any saint anywhere in the world, and how much hardship they faced. How much difficulty. What about Queen Kunti? She had a life of roses, or whatever they say. Was it life of roses or something?
Bed of.
Bed of roses. Was her life a bed of roses? Was it so easy and comfortable, as we were saying earlier about comfort and convenience? So much struggle. So this is, but this is the, what it takes. So this Vishrambhena Gurur Seva, this is the fourth limb of devotion. And these are the foundational blocks of the house of bhakti. First, find guru that knows Krishna and has affection and attachment for Krishna, and find guru that can illuminate our hearts with knowledge and remove our doubts, and find guru that has affection for us, sneha, and find guru that has pure behavior, and find such a person. And then when you find such a person, then you surrender. And then we're on our way back to Godhead. So let's get back to the Astakali Leela. So after all these wonderful things, then Krishna has this Puravan Leela, 8:24 a.m. to 10:48, which is called Four Noon Pastimes. Sri Govinda and his boyfriends take the cows out to eat the soft, sweet grass at the bottom of Govardhan Hill, which is right here. Krishna comes here every day. The boys frolic in the forest, bathe happily in Manasi Ganga, and enjoy eating tasty snacks of fruits and sweets. Arivo! Missing Sri Radha, Krishna tricks the boys and slips away to nearby Kusum Sarovara, where he meets with Subal Madhumangal, Dhanishta Sakhi, Brindadevi, and Tulsi to arrange for his impending rendezvous with his beloved Radhika. Madhyan Lila, 10:48 in the morning until 3:36 in the afternoon. Midday pastimes. Radha and Krishna meet and enjoy unlimited nectarine pastimes in Radha Kunda Ki.
Jai.
And in the surrounding forest groves belonging to Radha's Sakis. Radha and Krishna dispute over flower picking. They ride on a lotus swing. They stroll through the six seasonal forests. So this Pushpa Chori Leela. Then there's Julan Leela and Ban Vihar. Then they engage in color squirting wars, popularly known as Holi. Holi! And water splashing contest, which is called Jal Keli Leela. And flute stealing, Vamshi Chori. Decorating one another with flowers, Pushpa Alankar. Drinking honey nectars, Madhupan Leela. Eating forest fruits, Van Bojan. Playing board games, resting in flower petal beds. This is Rati Vilas, but it's called Shayan Rati Vilas or whatever. Shukshari Samvad. Hearing parrots sing their glories. And finally, Surya Puja. They go to Surya Kund. Dusk pastime. So that's a fun-packed afternoon. Lots of activities.
Mama, did you finish this one?
Oh, yeah. That's a midday pastime. This is afternoon pastime. It's called Apurvan Leela. 3:36 p.m. till 8 p.m. 3:36 to 6 o'clock. Sri Radha returns home to Yavat. Her mother-in-law's, that's where she lives. Bathes, dresses gorgeously, and begins cooking delicious sweets to send for Krishna's evening repast. Playing his flute, Sri Krishna calls the cows by name and leads them home to Nandagram. Yashoda and Rohini organize the kitchen to produce many sumptuous offerings for Krishna's pleasure. So that's a nice afternoon. Radharani's bathed and dressed and getting all ready to cook. Krishna's busy bringing the cows home. Playing his flute, his Venu, calling each cow by name. Davali, Shavali, Pishangi, Krishangi, Jamuna, Godavari, Gange, Chandani, Shavali, Amsi, Kali, all the different names of the cows he's calling. Then there's Shayan Leela, 6 p.m. to 8:24 p.m. Krishna and Balaram bathe, dress, and relish the sweet snacks sent by Srimati Sundari, Radha. Krishna then milks the cows, or alternatively goes to the Yamuna to sport with Radha. Where else does he go? Pavan Sarovar. After Nanda Maharaj's Sandhya Artik to his deity of Lord Narayan, he has a Lord Narayan deity, Krishna and all his boyfriends eat supper in a joking, festive mood. Yashoda sends Krishna's remnants to Radha, that means to Yavat, because she's not in Nandagram in the evening, who eagerly honors them. So Radharani's very happy and eager to honor Krishna's remnants. Evening pastimes, Pradosh Leela. 10:24 in the evening until 11:48. In Nanda Maharaj's palace auditorium, Krishna is entertained with dramas, dancing, recitations, instrumental music, Vedic mantra chanting, and a magic show. Maybe P.C. Sarkar was there. Afterwards, Mother Yashoda feeds warm milk to Krishna. See, this tradition of drinking hot milk at night is bona fide. Tongue scrapers and hot milk are all bona fide. Radharani uses a golden tongue scraper. And so does Krishna. And then he takes his hot milk and sends into Yashoda sends into bed. Meanwhile, in Yavat, Radharani is dressed in beautiful clothes with colors coordinated to the moon's phases, wearing white garments during Shukla Paksha and blue cloth during the dark moon. Why is that? Because when the moon is white and you're looking white, and they would take ground camphor powder and rub it on her golden face, like powder puff, or powder, what do they call it? Rouge, or whatever it's called, powder puff. And they would put this coloring on her face to reduce the glow of her complexion. So her Gaura Vigraha, a very golden fair form, is so effulgent. It's like the mixture of gold, tadit, which means lightning, tadit, suvarna means gold, tadit suvarna champak, and golden champak, which we've been trying relentlessly to grow in this garden. Meanwhile, so why is Radharani dressed in white clothes? To hide herself in the full moon, and she dresses in dark clothes during the Amavasya. So then she can really, she prefers Amavasya time of the year. I mean, time of the month, because it's completely dark. And then she wears dark, and there's no chance that anyone can see her. She takes off her ankle bells and her bracelets, and so no one can. Actually, she doesn't take off her ankle bells, the mandris tie cloth around them. They tie some cloth around them so they don't make sound. The bells are tied quiet with a cloth. It looks like red moon. It's like even when it rises or it sets, it has kind of reddish tint. Accompanied by her intimate girlfriends, Sri Radha travels to the assigned kunj on the bank of the Yamuna for her rendezvous with Shyam Sundar. Krishna pretends to sleep, assigns a couple boyfriends to guard, locks his door from inside, and secretly slips away to meet Radha. So he has some boyfriends guarding the door, so make sure no one comes in, like his mother. And he locks the door from inside, and he's off. Midnight pastimes, Nisha Lila, 10:48 to 3:36 a.m. Singing responsive songs, Srimati Radhika, Sri Krishna and the gopis wander throughout the Vrindavan forest along the Yamuna River. The amazing rasa dance begins with thousands of gopis beside thousands of Krishnas, all whirling and spinning gracefully in indescribably wonderful circular patterns. Vrindadevi distributes musical instruments and hundreds of gopis begin playing complex rhythms on veenas, mridangas, flutes, finger cymbals, stringed and wind instruments. All the musical instruments blend sweetly together. The tempo gets faster and faster. The tunes become more and more complex, and the dancing becomes more and more frantic as the gopis sing thousands of varieties of songs. Krishna admires the melodies or the melodious compositions of all the talented gopis. Srimati Radharani brings the topmost happiness to Sri Krishna by enacting a special dance that no one else could possibly imitate. After the exhilarating rasa dance, Radha, Krishna, and the gopis refresh themselves with inebriating fruit and honey nectar drinks. Then they relax upon luxurious natural beds made from flowers, petals, and lotus stems to further mitigate their transcendental fatigue and to enjoy more pastimes. Radha and Krishna and the gopis dip in the Yamuna for a sportive water fight. Vrindadevi provides cloth, fresh cloth, and decorations for Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. Then she brings the divine couple to the resting temple where they enjoy some fresh forest fruits before retiring for pleasure pastimes. Sri Krishna Dasta Kali Lila Ki Jai.